Pass the Mic is made possible by a grant from the T. Rowe Price Foundation, recognizing 45 years of advancing thriving communities and building financial well-being. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the participants and do not reflect the views of the T. Rowe Price Foundation, T. Rowe Price, or any of their subsidiaries or affiliates.
Pass the mic.
Hand that to me.
Pass it over here.
Pass the mic.
Wait. What year were you again?
It was like a second pepper.
Yeah.
Sports banquet tonight. Are you going?
Okay. No, this is momentous. I'm like, I get to cover the changing of the guard.
City forever.
City forever. I was going
to
get into
it. Okay, I think we're ready to go, so we can just kind of take it from the top.
Welcome to Pass the Mic. It's the show where every episode features a different host, someone from the community who leads a conversation on issues that matter to them. I'm Bree Reed, and I'll be your host for today's episode. I'm a Baltimore-born and bred writer and researcher and frequent contributor to the Baltimore Beat. I'm also a 2021 Rubies Artist Award grantee, a Writers in Baltimore Schools board member, and a 2025 and 2026 Baker Artist Award finalist in the literary arts. I have been fortunate enough to be featured on a number of panels in collaboration with City Lit Project, Red Emma's, the Clifton House, and other arts organizations across the United States. As a native Baltimorean, I have had the opportunity to attend one of the greatest schools in Baltimore. And if you ask me, one of the greatest public high schools in the world, Baltimore City College. Founded in 1839, Baltimore City College, known affectionately as City to everyone who knows anything, is one of the greatest features of Baltimore City's legacy. Known affectionately to graduates as the Castle on the Hill, Baltimore City College ranks number 2 in Baltimore City public high schools in the U.S. News Best High Schools ranking for 2025-2026. Some of the notable alumni of Baltimore City College include former Baltimore Mayor Kurt Schmoke, Lawrence Birney, and dozens of other changemakers in arts, culture, politics. And so when we talk about high school legacies, there's nothing like being a Baltimore City College grad, because a cheeky joke people like to make is when you ask somebody where they went to school in Baltimore, they won't tell you a college. They'll tell you a high school, and it matters. So to help me talk about this topic, about public education, about why public high schools matter so deeply in Baltimore City, in this first segment, I get to talk to my former principal when I was a student and the newly retired principal of Baltimore City College, Principal Cindy Harcum. She has served as principal at Baltimore City College since 2010. She started in the role as an interim principal. While they tried to find someone to fit the role, they didn't have to look far, because it became clear that the woman in the role already was the clearest choice to continue to lead, right? Prior to serving as principal, Principal Harcum walked the halls as a student. She graduated 1988 and then returned as an educator in the English department. Thanks for being here, Principal Harcum.
Thank you for having me.
You've experienced City at every level that I think you can, also as a parent of a graduate.
That's correct. That's correct. I lived at the Castle for about 38 years, if you really do the math on it all. Someone figured out that a woman could actually lead from the inside. Someone who's been with it for a while. And I had the wonderful opportunity of being a part of City College for 16 years as principal and 29 years as an employee of City, but 32 years with the actually Baltimore City Public Schools.
There's alum who return to school as staff, and that's a frequent tradition at City. And then there's you, Principal Harcum, who, like we said, attended City, taught English and creative writing, and then served as principal for 16 years. For you, what makes City an institution you committed to for your career?
City is an awesome school. And I'm not saying that just because I went there or because my children graduated from there. You don't see high schools like City College around the U.S., for that matter, around the world. It's a special place in which the students care for one another. The faculty cares for the students. It's a college-ready atmosphere. It's full of legacy and commitment and dedication to the community around. The graduates, they get involved. They're not just smart. They're caring leaders. They are willing to fulfill the needs of the community, the society. That's why it's so important to note that City College exists on the National Registry of Historic Places because of the people that you had mentioned who graduated from City, people like Elijah Cummings and Kurt Schmoke, people who have come through the halls of the Castle and then returned to give back to the Castle. So staying with City was just an important part of the development of City's graduates.
Absolutely.
City forever.
City forever. I was going to get into, we have so many deep traditions, and one that sticks with me is our school motto, honor to one who earns it.
That's right. Palmam qui merit ferat. You learn it, you become indoctrinated with it at the start of your freshman year, and we remind you of it all the way through until you graduate.
Yeah.
And then it just sticks with you to understand that hard work pays off.
What were some of the challenges you faced when you got there?
City was a good school, but making City a great school, a better school, in terms of being certain that students can get a great college education, get accepted into college, that's one thing. But the retention in college was important to us. We wanted to make certain that students were not only being accepted, but being able to have the grit, have the skills, soft skills, hard skills, everything they needed to be successful in college, and then be able to graduate with some college credits, to be able to make the most out of their international baccalaureate exams, their advanced placement exams. We wanted to see students stay in those 4 years and even move on to their graduate school if they chose. But we wanted that stick with it component that was more than just graduate high school and good luck.
Yeah.
It was all about making certain that our kids were getting a great education and that they were going to do something with it beyond the high school, and that we would be there for them if they needed us.
When I think about my years at City, I think about how immensely transformative that institution was for me as a young person. In my time at City, I lost 3 grandparents, and I talk about that a lot when I share the story of my coming of age, because for some people, grandparents are people who maybe mail you money on your birthday, might call once a month. My grandparents were truly my mother's co-parents, and so to lose them at such a critical time, I don't think I could have survived the waves of grief that were hitting me if I did not go to a place that so closely held their students like City. There was not a moment where even when I wanted to dissociate and falter, I literally remember college advising counselors tracking me down and being like, this school wants to hear from you. We have to send them this. It's like, even when I was falling through the cracks of just like grief and sadness, there was like, we can hold you. We can hold you up, and we can continue on this road together. And you're so right in all of that. In 2010, Ron Casey detailed your early days as interim principal for Baltimore Magazine. I don't know if you remember.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it's titled, or it raises the question, can City be great again?
Mm-hmm.
After 16 years, what do you say to that question?
City is awesome. City is better than ever. It's great that our kids are well-rounded. You know, we know that they can get involved in the arts. They can still enjoy, you know, aspects of the humanities and still major in bio, still major in computer science or physics. My daughter is a City College graduate who just graduated from the University of Maryland College Park, majoring in architecture, and she's going on to grad school for architecture. And she happened to like music and film as other interests. So, and she DJs. And that's the City College student.
It is.
You know, it's a profile that says this individual can take risks. They're knowledgeable, but they're also principled and they're willing to challenge themselves.
Yeah.
And I think seeing that evolution of the collegian beyond where we started 2010 is really important.
But let's get back to you, Principal Harcum. I'm sure you've been asked this question already, but for our listeners, what's next for you?
I'm looking forward to some rest for sure and just some opportunity to spend a little bit more time with the family. I'm not going to say goodbye to education, but I'm also definitely stepping away from the leadership role of it. I still love teaching. I love working with students. I still have that yearning to, you know, continue to support students.
Absolutely. And that's a great segue. One of many reasons I was so eager to do this episode is that we are at a time in contemporary life when there are many critics of public education in the United States. As a deeply devoted educator for a number of decades, what do you have to say to critics of public education?
I would say, you know, kids need a chance. Kids need people who believe in them. Kids need people who support them. Public education saves lives. Let's just be very serious about that. And giving kids the opportunity to show their value, to respect their abilities, means that we're giving them opportunities for the future. We're giving them a chance to get employed, to earn money, to be able to have the families and the type of opportunities that they deserve. And I'm especially talking about Black and brown children in Baltimore.
Absolutely. I have a story of when I went on, after graduating from City College, I went on to Davidson College in Davidson, North Carolina. And I remember being there and walking around the halls and doing well and doing better than a lot of my peers in many respects. And I had a professor on a walk around campus with me say, "You went to public school? You're like a unicorn in this place." And wow. I remember, and that sticks with me even now, being called a unicorn by someone who had taught at other universities and other elite schools. And Davidson, in a lot of respects, is regarded as a Harvard of the South in many ways. And so being in that space and being told, "You're a unicorn, getting here, getting this far, being first gen, being a public school grad, I'm a mystical animal." And so to hear you talk about, like, it is possible. We Absolutely. Have to remain dedicated.
Absolutely. And our kids deserve those opportunities.
Absolutely. And when we talk about a City College education, I also don't want listeners thinking that City in itself is a unicorn. I think City serves as a model correct. Of what schools throughout That's Baltimore correct. City public schools can achieve with resources, right? And a lot of those resources do come from the alumni network, who deeply invest in I benefited from some of those alumni-specific scholarships that the City College office has. But I also think it's a model of, like, when you resource students, when you give them drama clubs, when you give them choruses, when you give them teams and sports and means to connect, we thrive. That's scientifically proven. When we give students the resources to connect and learn outside of the school day, but still based in their school community, it deepens their connection to not only each other, but the learning. And I'll never forget being that senior year student. We're reading Baldwin. I'm learning about equilibrium, right? I'm going right. through writing full essays in Spanish about the history and culture of the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing all of this using my mother's lovely tax dollars in a public education. And then I go outside of City and I talk to students who go to private school and they're like, "You're as smart as we are." And I'm like, I'd argue that the way
smarter.
That, smarter, the way that City encourages a rigor. And so when you talk about the tools that we need to resource students with, a lot of that also comes from resourcing public educators. When you think about the resources that public educators in Baltimore City and throughout Maryland need to meet this moment, what resources can we provide, in your opinion?
Well, definitely incentivizing more the opportunities for persons interested in going into teaching. We need more resources at the universities to really encourage folks to go into education. Those, you know, of us who love teaching, we stayed in it because we saw in the long term the importance it has on kids' lives.
Thank you, Principal Harcum, not Thank only you. For joining me on this episode, but for all your years of strategy and the road you laid for me, not only as a leader at City College, but also as an alum of the space and paving the way for me and other graduates to really stand tall and straighten our back when we walk through the castle. I can't wait to hear what's next for you, and I hope you get many summers from
I'm
here on out.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've had the pleasure of speaking with Principal Cindy Harcum about her career and the importance of public school education. When we come back, I'll invite incoming principal of Baltimore City College, Dr. Cedric Smith, my former high school history teacher, into the conversation to talk about public school education, City's rich legacy, and so much more when Pass the Mic continues. Stay with us.
You're listening to Pass the Mic on 88.1 WYPR. Want to be part of the conversation? Suggest a guest host for Pass the Mic by writing to us at ptm@bemorepublicmedia.org. You can listen to more episodes of Pass the Mic at our website, wypr.org, or wherever you get podcasts. Baltimore Public Media, community amplified.
Welcome back. You're listening to Pass the Mic, the show where WYPR passes the microphone to different leaders in our community. I'm Bree Reed, your host for today's episode. I'm a native Baltimorean, a graduate of Baltimore City College High School, and I'm a writer and researcher who frequently contributes to the Baltimore Beat. Joining me in this segment of Pass the Mic is the incoming principal of the Baltimore City College, Dr. Cedric Smith. Now, Dr. Smith has many accolades. He's graduated numerous times from many institutions, most recently earning his doctorate. But when we talk about high school, particularly in the United States, it's such a storied subject, right? Movies and novels for decades have highlighted the emotional and social stakes of those 4 years. When I showed up to first-year pre-orientation known as Summer Bridge, I learned about city traditions, fight songs, rivalries, class colors, and I learned about teachers who are pillars of the place. One such teacher was regarded with no prefix, right? They didn't talk about him as Mr. This or Mr. That, but one name reverberated across the castle. Smitty, a fixture of the second floor in the history department, a monster of a coach on the field for girls and women's sports, a forever champion who had walked the halls just like we did. I'm speaking with a man who is no stranger to Baltimore City College and now will be its champion of a leader. Dr. Cedric Smith, welcome to Pass the Mic.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to get a chance to reconnect with you.
Can you tell us a little bit about your time visiting the castle again and again? Because I'm lucky enough to speak to two principals who have experienced the castle on all four levels that you can.
Yeah, so I'm class of 2001, a proud graduate, as I think most people who go to City are. But as you mentioned, I have had the unique experience of experiencing it from multiple lenses, right? As a student, obviously, getting indoctrinated, if you will, into the City College sort of ethos and what it means to be a Knight. But it really changed the trajectory of my life, being a student at City. And then for me, it was an opportunity just to come back and give back, right? And so when I graduated undergraduate in 2005, so just 4 years later, I came right back to the castle. And that was Ms. Harcum, who reached out to me. I was going to take a job at another school. And she messaged me. She said, Cedric, don't take that job. We've got a job for you. It was the biggest professional blessing of my life that I got a chance to get reacclimated to where City was just 4 years later, and really got to grow up as an adult and as a leader at City. And then obviously had the opportunity for my own children to matriculate to City, and to see City from their lens, from the eyes of a parent, has just been transformative for me. And of course, you know, 16 years as an educator there, getting to teach so many amazing young people like you. The list would be too long for this entire episode to name all the amazing students that I had. But City is unique. It's special, and I'm over the moon thrilled to have an opportunity to come back home.
I talked about how revered you were even from the moment I came in Summer Bridge, and I also think the way I experienced you was you don't get to take a Smitty class until you get through those first 2 years at City. You don't teach the middle years.
Yeah, that wasn't my jam, that's for sure. Yeah.
So in a way, it's also like you have to earn the chance to sit in your classroom. And a story I tell often about the way that I write now begins in your high school history class. Mm. I remember writing essays for you to grade, and I was obsessed with starting my sentences with "I think." Oh. And do you remember this moment between us?
That is a pet peeve of mine, but keep going, yes.
So I remember, I think I was sitting on like the left-hand side of your classroom in the second row, and you hand me back an essay, and I get a good grade, and I see all these lines through the start of my sentences, and you look at me dead in my eye, and you say, "Bree, stop starting your sentences with "I think." You wrote it. I know you think it." Yeah. And even now when I edit papers and essays that get published for the world to read, I have the Smitty voice in the back of my head saying, "You don't need to qualify that."
Yeah.
You're the voice on the title of the byline. You don't have to qualify your statement. And I think as a teacher, particularly saying that to a young Black girl in public school, that I don't have to qualify what I say before I say it, before I have an opinion.
Yeah.
I want to tell you how much that changed me in everything I write as someone who does writing now as a profession.
Yeah.
And so I've experienced your in-classroom management and championing of public school students. Can you tell us about how your in-class experience is about to impact your role as a principal and a leader?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you for sharing that story. And I do remember that, actually. You know, one of the things that Principal Harcum said to me, I don't know if she'll ever even remember this, was she said, "Cedric, don't ever forget what it's like to be a classroom teacher." And I've carried that with me. You always have a moment to teach young people. But towards my end of my teaching time at City, I was after school, two boys had gotten into it and they were about to fight. They didn't need to fight, but they were about to fight. Their emotions got the better of them. I remember I'm all of 5'7". On a good day, I'm 5'8". And these were two older, I want to say junior or senior young men, and they were bigger young men, certainly towering over me. And I went down and tried to solve the issue. And I literally grabbed one of the young men by the shirt. And I yelled at him to look at me. And I said, look at me. And he looks down because I'm short. He looks down at me. And I said, listen to what I'm saying to you. You don't have to do this. And I was able to de-escalate him. We were able to kind of walk and talk. Another teacher happened to be walking by. And he said to me, I can't believe you got that kid to listen to you in that moment. And I said, for me, it was just a teaching moment. That's all it was. Even in that moment of chaos, even in that moment of anger, I still had a responsibility to help teach that young man that in that moment, you can make a different decision. And I segue that back to my philosophy in the classroom, which was that I never tried to micromanage kids. You know, I like to say it was organized chaos in my classroom very often, but I led with relationships. I needed for young people like you to know that I'm there for you as a person first. Then we can do the teaching thing. I can teach you all kinds of things. I need for you to know that I'm invested in you. And so when I handed you that paper back, right, it was like, Bree, you're here. You're ready. Why are you not sure of that? Right? And so as I go back into the castle, eventually we'll be at UB for two more years, but when I go back into the castle as the principal, right, that same philosophy holds. One, it starts with relationships. You have to know kids. You have to care about kids. You have to love kids to do this job well. You have to be good at your craft, right? You have to know what you're talking about. Students see right through that. And then you have to know that every single time you're in front of young people is a chance to teach them something. But you get a chance every single day when those kids show up to teach them something and make them be the better version of themselves. Why wouldn't you do that? And so I thank you for sharing that story and reminding me of that story because it does sort of symbolically show what I believe in, which is that it's a gift to stand in front of young people, and I don't take that for granted any single day.
What can the school community expect from you in early days?
Yeah, so to your point, I do have a 30, 60, and 90-day entry plan. I pride myself in being overprepared as opposed to being underprepared. But for the students to continue the sense of community, and I know that's super important, especially over these next 2 years, right? As we are in a swing space at the University of Baltimore, and they've been just tremendous hosts for us over this first year, and we are excited for our partnership over the next 2 years. It's super important to me that young people who come to City College at UB still feel like it's City, still have the traditions, still have the homecoming to look forward to, still have the pep rallies to look forward to, still have the Hall of Fame ceremony, all those things that sort of are unique to City College. From the teachers, it's about support at our school. And so we want to make sure that our teachers are fully prepared to make those students successful. And I very much believe in servant leadership. I will never ask a staff member, whether it's a custodian, whether it's a cafeteria worker, whether it's an assistant principal, to do something that I'm not willing to do myself, right? So if we need this hallway clean, guess who's going to be out there helping to clean it, right? If this math teacher is struggling and not sure about how to get students on track, guess who's going to be in that meeting with the math coach and the department chair to help that teacher get better. When the adults do well, they show up better for young people. And that's the ultimate goal, right? We need our teachers, our staff at their best for our young people. And then for the alum, we're going to make sure that the alum, whether they're in Japan, California, or right down the street here in Baltimore, are seeing the amazing things that our young people continue to do at City College.
What are your plans to bring the rivalry trophy back home to the castle, wherever our satellite site may be? What are your plans to bring that rivalry trophy back home in 2020? What are we going to do about it?
Yes, the streak was broken last year, unfortunately. You know, every broken clock is right twice a day, right? So our friends over at Cold Spring Lane, they get to enjoy the fruits of their labor for a year. But we certainly expect to bring the trophy back home where it belongs, where it's been for over the last decade. But we know it's a very friendly rivalry. We have great respect and admiration for our friends over on Cold Spring Lane. You'll never catch me saying their name, but I'm competitive. We fully expect to bring the trophy back to the castle. The temporary castle at UB this year.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Smitty, Dr. Smith, one of the most impactful educators who I've ever had the honor and the privilege to be your student. It is an honor of my life to see you step into this role and lead the castle into a triumphant future. Hooray to you.
I'm truly honored, truly humbled. And as we like to say around the castle, city forever.
City forever, everyone. I want to thank my guest today, Cindy Harcum, who served as principal of Baltimore City College from 2010 through 2026, and Dr. Cedric Smith, who took up the helm as City College's new principal starting in the summer of 2026. You've been listening to Pass the Mic. I'm Bree Reed, thanking you for listening to me, and thank you so much to the WYPR team. It's been a blast. To learn more about the show and this episode, visit WYPR.org and subscribe to Pass the Mic wherever you get podcasts.
Hi, I'm Maxie C. Jackson III, Program Director for Baltimore Public Media. Thank you for your feedback and for supporting Pass the Mic. We're excited to bring you more stories, more guest hosts, and more conversations more often. Beginning September 1st, tune in to Pass the Mic every Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Pass the Mic, Community Amplified.
Pass the Mic is produced by Elizabeth Nonemaker, Senior Producer Mallory Pinkard-Pierre, and Executive Producer Amy Walters. This is a presentation of Baltimore Public Media.